If I hear another Christmas song, I really think I'm gonna have to hurt someone. You better call my shrink. At last you think that this is just a case of someone lacking in good cheer. Imagine how you'd feel if every single year you had to hear this stupid song ringing in your ear for the whole month long. Yeah, then you might sympathy, but those who feel like me and think that we would rather not cut down the Christmas tree.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
My name's Eleanor Chitlin, and I'm the Director of Programs at the Children's International Learning Center. What we're talking about is the way people all over the world celebrate by using light as a symbol of hope and expectation of good things in the future. And it's important, I think, for children in Canada to realize that unless you're a native person who celebrates the midwinter ceremony at the time when the moon is right in the middle of the winter, unless you're a person celebrating that sort of festival, then everybody else is a person who has been instrumental, or their family has been instrumental, in bringing some of the other festivals to us. And it's really important to realize that Canada is made up of all of those different festivals together. There's no one that belongs to Canada. So I think that light is really important to observe, and I think that light is a really good way, not of dividing people, but of connecting them, of realizing that everybody in some way or another celebrates in some way, probably using light of some kind. And we can divide that into traditional methods with light, for like candles and lamps and torches, anything that uses fire. But then it's really important to realize that the colored lights that people always talk about here as being Christmas lights are just as likely to be Diwali lights or Kwanzaa lights or lights for any of the other festivals that we're talking about. They're just the modern way of making light for the festivals. We're talking here about 8 or 9 different festivals. We're talking about the Christians' festival of Christmas. We're talking about the Jewish festival of Hanukkah. We're talking about the relatively quite modern festival of Kwanzaa, as well as the Chinese New Year, which has many other names and variations, Diwali for the Hindu population, and also the midwinter ceremony celebrated by the native people. The two major ways that people can figure out when it's time to have a festival are by looking on the calendar, where it's probably going to be marked, or by counting the times that the moon goes through all of its phases. If you use the calendar, it's easy to see that you can follow the same day every year. But if you follow the cycles of the moon, each cycle is about 29 days, and 13 of these will get you a little beyond where you were before. So that if you are going very firmly by the moon, your festival is going to change every year. If you watch Ramadan, for example, the Muslim celebration, or I should say that's an observance, but it's ended by Eid, which is a celebration. Though that festival will change quite a lot and will sometimes happen in other seasons rather than in December, for sure. Eid is the celebration that ends a month of fasting, and I should again say a month, because it's the 29-day moon cycle, which is observed by Muslim people. And I think that it's a time to remember one's obedience to God by showing that there are things more important than your stomach. But I think that that's also used on Eid to remember people who always have the feelings of hunger in their stomachs, those who are not well off enough to be able to be sure of having enough to eat. And I think that one of the admonitions of God is to look after one another. And so I think that that's an important part of the festival of Ramadan and Eid, is to remember those who are less fortunate. But Eid is also a time of celebration, because you can begin to eat during the day on Eid al-Fitr, after a month when you have to eat your breakfast in the dark and then not eat again until after the sun sets. Kwanzaa is the modern festival, which only began about a generation ago. And Kwanzaa is connected with those people who were forced to come to North America from many countries in Africa as slaves. And I think here it's important to know historically that skin color has nothing to do with slavery, that in the past it was more of a situation where there might be a war and the losers just get to be the slaves of the people who win. And so, in this particular instance, it was a case of the people who came to settle North America, the people who thought it was possible to own land, who saw the potential of all that property and wanted to have big farms and didn't want to have to do all that work, and knew that there were people who could be used for that purpose and who would find it difficult to rescue one another. If they snatched people from far enough away, then there'd be no way for them to be helped and rescued. And so these people were used as slaves for a long time, and the threads of people's lives were totally lost. The idea of the kinds of things that were celebrated, the things that were valued in cultures far away, the idea that those things had been totally lost really means that people feel perhaps they have no way of connecting with their own traditions. And after slavery ended, it took a long time to figure out what could be done to help people to reconnect. But eventually, it was decided that festivals that were celebrated in the countries of Africa from which slaves had come included usually a festival of harvest. And so Kwanzaa was kind of devised. It's a festival which could be celebrated by anybody who had been brought to this part of the world as a slave from any of the countries in Africa. I shouldn't say anybody, but the descendants of those people. And it's a celebration which helps to reconnect with what it's very likely people might have been doing in the part of the world where their families originated. So it's kind of empowering. Kwanzaa is a celebration which lasts for a week, and each day is a day on which you can light a candle to remind individuals of their worth and also of the worth of the group. When everybody works together, it's a reminder of how many great things can be done. I think that it was consciously chosen to start the day after Christmas because many people who were brought here as slaves took on the Christian religion. And I think it's also significant that then, beginning on December 26th, that ends on January 1st, and Kwanzaa means one. So it could mean ending on January 1st could mean the first of the fruits of the harvests, but it can also mean like we're number one. You know, everybody has talents that will make the world better, and that we all have equal value as human beings. Freedom! 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 Freedom!
are listening to Radio Free School.
Diwali, which is a Hindu festival which originated in India, but of course all of these festivals happen here now. And Diwali has a lot of similarities with a jolly person who comes and brings you stuff that you just want and you don't need, because Diwali is about one of the Hindu assistant gods who will bring you luxuries. Her name is Lakshmi, and she can bring you good stuff. And she comes on a swan, and if you leave lights out, then that marks your house, and she can come down and bring you things. It's also a time to remember that however bad things are, that good will always win in the end. It's a nice message. It's also at this season that Chinese New Year comes, although again it's one of those festivals which is marked by the moon, so it's a changing festival. This year it won't be celebrated until February 1st, 2003, but again it's a festival of this time of year, and it's a festival to remind people of the need to start fresh, to start anew, and to do things in a way that they hope will be better, and to keep striving for something that's better. I think that gifts are part of practically all of these festivals, whether or not they're officially on the list of rules, because it just seems as if that's a part of the time of year for giving, for thinking beyond yourself. And I think there's an aspect of that in each of the festivals we're talking about. Christmas specifically is very interesting, because for Christians, it's a serious thing about getting this gift of the baby Christ, Jesus Christ. And so often Christmas is left to be a serious remembrance of that time. And the gift giving may happen on the 6th of January, because that's Epiphany. And by tradition for Christians, that's the day that the wise men arrive to bring the gifts to the Christ child. So that seems like a reasonable time to have presents. And so there are many cultures which exchange presents at that time. So, for example, in Italy, La Befana will bring you gifts on Epiphany. In the Holy Land itself, some Christian children receive gifts from the little camel of Jesus, and there you can see the connection with the wise men, where one of the camels bringing the wise men apparently brought his baby with him, and the baby was really impressed and decided to bring gifts to all children afterwards. But I think there's a more universal thing than that, that it's just an idea of thinking beyond you and what you want, and thinking about how you can best care for other people. And I think that's a thread that runs through all the festivals of light.
Radio Free School, a show by, for, and about home learners.
Magics and miracles. Well, there wouldn't be a festival, would there, unless something special happened. Most of the festivals that we talk about have an element of something which is beyond the reasonable understanding. For example, Hanukkah has to do with a little bit of oil which burnt 8 times as long as it should have in a lamp. And that symbolism was that the lamp was there to show that God was with the people. For many people at that time, God was very visible as some sort of a statue. But for the Jewish people, God could only be represented by something like light. But the story of Hanukkah says that there was only enough oil in this place to last for a day, but the oil kept on burning until more oil could be brought, just to show that God is always there, that they don't have to have a symbol, that God is always with them. And at Christmas, again, the miracle of a virgin birth. Then also with the Chinese New Year, the dragon is a mythical beast who brings good things. And what we say is that he can eat up evil demons, which you could think of as being bad attitudes, because it's a time of year. At the end of a year, I think we're all kind of impatient and miserable and not very friendly to one another. And if the dragon can eat up all those bad attitudes, we can start out fresh. So, of course, again, the gods of the Hindu pantheon can be considered to be supernatural creatures who come and bring us things that we need, or in this case, something that we just want to have. I think in each case, there's an element of something that's magical, not quite what we expect every day.
I have a little dreidel, I made it out of clay, and when it's dry and ready, my dreidel I will play. Dreidel, 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 I made it out of clay. Dreidel, 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 my dreidel I will play. Dreidel, 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 I made it out of clay. Dreidel, 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 my dreidel I will play.
I like that. So do I. It's short.
I'm trying to tell you the story about what Hanukkah was about. The people wanted to talk to their God, but a new mean king came and said, you need to worship other gods. So he sent soldiers around checking if people were praying to their God. The people were still praying to the god, but when a soldier came around, they'd spin the dreidel and pretend that they were just playing a game. So one day, someone said, we don't have to keep pretending. Why don't we just get this mean king out of our land? So they did. And after that, they didn't have any more oil, so they found only a tiny bit of oil, and they put it on the candle. Then they slept, and there was something really amazing. The oil lasts for another day and another, so it lasts for 8 days, and that's why Hanukkah goes for 8 days. What about this kind of scroll thing? You open it, and this is what you do with the dreidel. You have a dreidel and words on it, kind of Jewish words. So there's a map about of the Jewish words on it, and then you spin the dreidel and see which word is from that. And you have this powder, and you take it out of your pocket, and you share it. Someone gets the whole pile. Then you have to take a little bit out of your pocket, put it on that. The menorah holds 9 candles. And the one in the middle, when that middle one is lit up, then it lights up all the other candles. That's what makes them light up. They have this thing, and they have the letters, and it's rolled up, and you unroll it and roll it up again. And then...
That's cool.
Yeah, and you read it. And there's also a little can of the tiny scroll inside, and there's this thing. When you turn the thing, then the pages switch. So, the gifts, you get 8 gifts, but sometimes that doesn't happen.
How central is food in the various celebrations?
I think, again, that's part of the sharing thing, and I think it's just about universal. We think about the feasts that happen with Kwanzaa as being representative of the many harvest festivals which happened in the many countries in Africa that people came from to live against their will, really, in North America, and it could be yams or corn or any number of foods, but they are all central to the idea of bringing people together and having a chance to share and a chance to show appreciation for the fact that we're not going to go hungry. I think that's as basic as it is. In the festival of Eid, you're following a month when people don't eat, when you're supposed to show great restraint through the whole day, when it's only required that you should eat when it's dark. And even when you do eat, you should break your fast with some water and dates and not to go overboard. Even on Eid, when you are enjoying feasts, it's really important to remember those who aren't able to enjoy the huge bounty that other people have. At the time of Hanukkah, it's kind of neat to celebrate with foods which are fried, which are cooked in oil, because then that brings back the idea of this oil lamp, which burnt much longer than it was ever predicted to be able to last. So not only things like latkes, which are more traditional, but donuts and French fries and fried chicken, anything that's cooked in oil. So most of the festivals do have a really big element of eating something yummy, no matter what the background is. I think that the three main religions we were talking about, the Jews and the Christians and the Muslims, I think that the message they're getting from the Quran or the Bible or the Torah is peace. It's to respect one another and to live in peace. I think that there's only a small minority, which doesn't listen to that. But that's the message that I think is being sent out through all of those holy books. So I think peace is a very important element. I know with the Hindu religion also, I think it's kind of neat. People have said that there's no problem with Hindus because they kind of look at other religions as being people who just don't know they're Hindus yet. And so that there isn't that kind of a big pressure to try and convert people. And so it is a very peace-loving kind of religion to begin with. But again, you know, I think there's just a minority in each group that doesn't really get the message. In Kwanzaa, of course, with people who have a background of having suffered slavery, I'm sure that it's really important also that peace and working together cooperatively should be part of the message. And of course, with the midwinter ceremony, the native people, with the idea of burying your weapons under the tree of peace and working together. I think there can't be anything stronger than that.
Hi ho, hi ho, war toys have got to go. Take them off the shelves like good little elves. Hi ho, hi ho, hi ho, hi ho, hi ho. War toys have got to go. Take them off the shelves like good little elves. Hi ho, hi ho.
You are listening to Radio Free School on Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3 FM 97.9 FM in Fredericton, New Brunswick.
What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine?
You talked a bit about the midwinter ceremony, celebrated by Native people.
Yes, that ceremony happens again by the moon. You have to wait until the phases of the moon have come around. And one of the important things there is to think about again what's happened in the past. The wise people of the community would talk together, I think, about the way things have been going and discuss which things have been working well and which things need to be adapted. Again, it's another kind of variation, maybe on a new year when you can start fresh and do things in a even better way than they've been done in the past. So because it's a wintertime festival, and one that we know confidently is a winter festival, the symbolism of the fire and the warmth is really important. And part of the ceremony is to put out the fire for a while to contemplate the actions of the past. So it's a really important and very significant one spiritually as well. When you think about the age of some of these festivals and the many, many parts of the world in which they are celebrated, obviously you can't expect them to be the same in many, many ways, but there is a kernel of things that is the same. And of course, there's some symbolism that that people will share and other symbols that are optional, I guess. Another symbol I can think of which could be used for almost any of the festivals, but which is being used for Christmas, is the evergreen. And I think that probably is part of solstice and all those other festivals as well, because the symbol of the tree predates, I think, any of the religions that we've talked about just now and goes back deep into people's feeling about the way the earth is nourished and the way humans are nourished by the earth. And the tree is the source of so much that we need, like our own oxygen and food and shelter and shade and for buildings and for writing on it, trees are just about universally needed. And the tree started out, I think, as a symbol of something which lasts a long time. And for so many cultures, the idea of a life which includes the spirit as well as the body, and which means that a soul doesn't need a body and that the life can continue after, has some connection with an evergreen which doesn't lose all of its needles and continues from year to year. But within Christianity now, the tree has kind of been taken over as a Christmas tree and seems to be causing all kinds of difficulties. But again, I think the tree goes beyond Christianity, and I think that's only one of its uses, to be a place where you can put all your Christmas symbol ornaments. This is a rangoli, and this one is in particular, it's for the time of Diwali, but some people make one every day for their homes, and it looks like a mat, but it's actually made out of loose stuff. It could be flower petals, or it could be powdered chalk or flour. In fact, you make this beautiful thing, and then as soon as somebody walks in it, it's destroyed. And some people make one for every day. But of course, this one is specially for Diwali because it's got swans on it. So I think it's a great symbol for festivals too, because some of the most beautiful things just last a really short time, and I think it should be like that. I sometimes get frustrated with, you know, these things where the lights are up for months, you know, and I think it takes away the excitement and the mystery of it if it lasts a long time. And I like the idea of something that's impermanent, but just beautiful and just lasts a little while.
And what is it called again?
That's, one of the names is a rangoli, but in India there are 15 major languages and hundreds of variations on the languages, so it has many names. But we call it a rangoli here, and we call the little lamps that you light to show Lakshmi where you live, we call them Deepa lamps, but they're also called Diya lamps. They have many names too. That's one of the things that we send home, is actually not a hand but a foot, with Mendi designs on it in henna. Well, actually no, in marker. But we do show pictures of the Mendi that's on some of these people's hands, and there's some on the wrists, and there's some. Now, we mentioned too that the henna washes off quite quickly, especially for Muslim people, because one of the requirements of Islam is that you should pray 5 times a day and that you should be very clean to talk to God. So that means that you should wash your hands and your feet and your head every time before you pray. And then we have the prayer rug to remind people that prayer for Muslim people isn't a manner of bowing your head and clasping your hands, but that you also need to kneel and even touch your head to the ground to show that you're willing to obey God. And God's saying, be peaceful. I think now that you can see here that the lucky color for Chinese New Year is red, and that the kind of gift you would get for Chinese New Year is a lucky money envelope. And it's kind of significant that the lucky money envelope should come from an adult, because what you are really wishing somebody is a good family life and a great job so you can afford to keep up all of the neat things that you want for your life. We should mention the symbolism of the electric lights. We did mention it a little bit before, but it doesn't matter how we prepare the groups when they come in. When we ask them, if you were going to celebrate Diwali in a modern way, for example, then you could use these lights, and what would you call them? And of course, the kids all say Christmas lights. So it's really important to know that this is the modern version of the lights, of any festival of lights, that they would be Diwali lights, of course. That's what you would see all over the place in the cities if you were in India at Diwali time. And there'd be no reason to call them anything else.
I'm gonna wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1CO.